Despite overwhelming public opposition from across the country and the political spectrum, Federal Communications Commission Chairman Kevin Martin isn't letting up in his relentless push to let a small handful of big media corporations swallow up even more local outlets. Martin wants to lift the long-standing ban that keeps one company from owning both a major daily newspaper and a TV or radio station in the same market. The 32-year-old prohibition on, quote, newspaper broadcast cross-ownership has helped prevent media monopolies in local news markets. But media conglomerates whose holdings include both TV stations and newspapers have lobbied for years to get rid of the rule. That's the first couple of paragraphs of a report titled Devil in the Details, 10 Facts Kevin Martin Doesn't Want You to Know About His New Media Ownership Rules. Authored in part by Joseph Torres, our guest on the phone today, he is governmental relations manager of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to increase informed public participation in crucial media policy debates. And I welcome you, Joe, to the show today. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Judge?
Good, how are you?
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining me today. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Well.
Why don't we start off talking about this report, Devil in the Details, that you helped co-author. If you can just talk about what the overall point of it is.
Well, the overall point of the report, Devil in the Details, is to basically unmask, to reveal what Kevin Martin is actually proposing. On the November 13th, actually proposed a rule that calls for lifting of the newspaper or television cross-ownership in the top 20 markets. But when we actually took a look at what he was proposing, as we say in the report, the devil's in the details, it was actually much more drastic than that. His proposed rule is actually opening the back door, as we say, to allow for newspapers to buy television stations in markets across the country, regardless of size. And so Kevin Martin, when he originally announced this proposal, he's called it a modest proposal. He's only going to stay in the top 20 markets. He's not going to deal with, increasing the ownership caps on radio or television stations. But what he's actually proposing is much more drastic. So it's drastic than he is not a modest proposal as he pretended it to be. So that's what we try to address in this report. We try to debunk all the different rationale that Kevin Warren has used, the FCC chairman, on why lifting the cross-ownership ban is a good thing.
Maybe we could talk about some of those rationales that Kevin Martin has put forward. First of all, he wrote an op-ed that was in the New York Times on November 13th. Maybe you could talk about some of what he had to say there. His concern that the American newspaper will, quote, wither and die if this ban on cross-ownership of newspapers and TV stations isn't lifted. He calls it a relatively minor loosening of the ban. Can you talk a little bit now about some of the rationale he used?
Yeah, well, one of the great myths is that the newspapers are dying. Newspapers are a very profitable business. The problem is that more than 80% of newspapers today are actually corporate-owned. They're publicly traded companies. So they are not making as much money as Wall Street wants them to make. So it is true that some of the advertising dollars has been siphoned off from newspapers, and folks are purchasing online ads. But instead of newspapers earning 30% profit margin, they're actually like earning 20% profit margin. They're still very profitable, but just not as profitable as the corporate owners wants them to be, or Wall Street expects them to be. So they figure we can go buy television stations because television stations do earn like 40% profit margin. They earn a ridiculous amount of money, and that's a way to basically satisfy the demands of Wall Street. And we just argued that that's not good public policy. That's not what the FCC is supposed to be doing, to basically, as we call it, give a corporate welfare to newspapers because they're not meeting Wall Street expectations.
What do you mean by corporate welfare?
Corporate welfare is, so here's this company that's not happy with how much money it's making, and they want the FCC to actually help them make more money. And this is what basically newspapers are asking for. They're asking, hey, we're not making as much money as we used to make, and so we need to make more money, help us make more money, allow us to own a television station, which television stations are very profitable. And that's what we remember, corporate welfare. It's helping companies out that really don't need the help. So the newspapers have continued to say newspapers are in trouble, newspapers are dying. Actually, more people read newspapers today than ever before when you combine not just the actual print product, but online. Most popular website in any city is the local newspaper's website. So local newspapers, more people are reading it, local daily newspapers, more than ever before when you combine the online product and the print product.
Now, what Kevin Martin is proposing, again, he's the FCC chairman, is that a company that owns a newspaper in one of the 20 largest cities in the country should be permitted to purchase a broadcast TV or radio station in the same market, but a newspaper should be prohibited from buying one of the top four stations in the community.
Right.
And that in addition, each part of the combined entity would need to maintain its editorial independence. It kind of sounds okay when you listen to him reason it, because he'll say, you know, as long as there's eight other independent voices in the same market, it's only in the 20 largest cities in the country. We're talking about they won't be allowed to buy those top four stations. It kind of sounds like it's not that big a deal when he explains it.
Right. Well, that's we definitely do not agree with that. Here's why it's a big deal for several reasons. One is let's take it on its face, the top 20 markets, and you could purchase a station outside the top four. Okay. What happens? His rationale is that newspapers. He's also claiming that newspapers the newspaper that owns the television station. That television station, more news is produced as a result of that ownership, that combination, that ownership with the newspaper. Well, we looked at the actual data, the FCC's own data that it used to make this argument, and it showed that there was a slight increase in actually local news at that broadcast station, but that slight increase normally occurred if there was a little more news about sports and a little more news about weather. But what the FCC did not look at, which we looked at using the FCC's own data, is what happens at the market level. What happens overall at the market level to all the other stations that are not cross-owned and now are competing against this cross-owned company? What we found is that the amount of news in the local market actually decreases by 25%. So it has the effect of reducing the amount of news a local community gets. And the reason that it does that is because in any given city, the newspaper has the most reporters in that market. And those reporters, as you watch your local news, a lot of them appear on the local news stations of other all the different competitors. Now, with the cross-owned station, they're not going to appear on the other stations. That's one reason. So here's this newspaper, all the resources and all the access to all the stories that are going on in the city, feeding those stories to one station now. Those other stations have a hard time competing against the news resources that cross-owned entity has now. And point number two, that cross-owned entity has greater power over the local advertising market and commanded more advertising dollars because they have two different platforms now that they can use, lure advertisers to help pay for the advertising. So what we find is that other stations are reducing their commitment to producing local news because they're finding it a harder time competing against the cross-owned entity. Okay, here's the other major issue besides reducing the amount of local news. You could buy a station outside the top four, right? He is proposing. There's a problem with that. There's 43 minority-owned television stations in this country. That makes up 3% of all local television stations in the country minorities owned, right? Out of those 43, 19 of them are in the top 20 markets, right? All 19 of them are ranked outside the top four. So what you, in fact, are doing are you're putting the minority owners in the crosshair of consolidation. And also, too, you're reducing the opportunities for a minority owner to actually purchase a station because they're more likely to purchase a station outside the top four. Right, and then three newspapers. There are maybe one or two newspapers, or a few newspapers in this country, daily newspapers. That is, that are actually minority owned. So these companies buying these cross-owned properties are not minority owned companies. So you're basically doing, you're reducing the opportunity for minority owners to own stations, and minority ownership is in a crisis, and this is only going to make it more difficult, because what it does now, that person of color who potentially could have bought the number 5th-ranked station or 6th-ranked station, it increases the value of that station. That station now has become more valuable. And when it becomes more valuable, people of color have historically have had a more difficult time gaining access to capital to purchase stations. That's why the ownership level is so low. You're just erecting those barriers even higher. And the chairman has failed to address the issue of minority ownership, even though people, congressional leaders from Senator Obama, Senator Menendez, Congresswoman Hilda Solis, Conyers, more than 20 national civil rights groups, and the Commissioner Jonathan Alstein, the cops, have been telling the SEC Commissioner that minority ownership is in a crisis. People of color make up close to 35% of the U.S. population, and yet you have failed to address this issue. In addition, women make up 51% of the U.S. population and only own slightly less than 6% of all local television stations. How can the majority of the U.S. population, when you combine women and people of color, the vast majority, how can they be shut out of ownership opportunities? And this is not a problem. You have to deal with this problem.
So what you're saying is that if Kevin Martin's proposal goes through and a company that owns a newspaper can purchase a TV station in the same market in one of the 20 largest cities in the country, and they're excluded from buying one of the top 4 TV stations in the community, that they'll be left having to make offers on and try to purchase all the other stations outside of the top 4, and you're saying that's going to increase the value of the 5th and 6th ranked stations because the newspapers can't be making offers on the top 4.
Exactly.
And that the most at threat are the minority-owned stations because...
That's where they're all located at, in the top 20 markets.
They're not one of the top 4, usually.
Not one of the top 4.
So they're going to be under threat, basically.
Under pressure to sell. Great pressure to sell. And then also it erects the barriers even higher for a potential buyer, a potential person of color to buy a station in those top 20 markets. Obviously, they're more likely to buy a station outside the top 4. The top 4 are going to be normally your network-owned stations.
Right.
So those independent stations that potentially a person of color can purchase, it's going to make it even harder for them to raise that capital because the value of those stations are going to increase now.
What percentage of the overall media in this country are the 20 largest markets? What percentage do they make up of the overall media in the U.S.?
You know, that's a great question. What Kevin Martin is proposing, the top 20 markets, it represents 43% of the U.S. audience. So 43% of the U.S. Television watching audience.
So almost half.
Almost half, right, are located in those top 20 markets.
Interesting. So it seems he's trying to put a spin on this, that this is kind of just a small little thing. It's just a tweaking of the rules. It's not really going to have that big of an effect. In fact, my understanding is he's arguing this might actually increase local news, that it's going to save newspapers. What are your thoughts on local news? What will happen to it if this goes through? Is it going to be worse or better or stay about the same?
Yeah, we think it overall, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we think it's going to reduce the amount of local news. We think other stations are going to find it harder to compete against that cross-owned property now, that television station that is also owned by a newspaper. It's going to be harder for them to compete against them because of the news resources that newspaper has. So our study shows that we looked at all the different cross-owned stations throughout the country that currently exist under previous that have been grandfathered in and allowed to, so those markets that are allowed to have a newspaper cross-ownership currently, and we found that the amount of local news was actually declined whenever there was a cross-owned station in that market. So we think it's going to overall reduce the amount of news that the local community receives. And that's not the FCC is not supposed to be in the business of reducing the amount of news in a local market.
What about those who are outside? If Kevin Martin's proposals go through, what about markets outside of the 20 largest markets in the country where cross-ownership would be lawful? In all markets outside, it would not be. So my understanding, though, is that there is some opportunity even outside of the 20 largest markets to apply for some kind of waiver.
Exactly.
So how does that work?
So the way it works is that right now, if the current law basically states that if a newspaper wants to buy a television station, and the only way they can potentially do it, or broadcaster wants to buy a newspaper, the only way that can happen is if one of the criteria is that let's say a television station is going to go out of business, they're literally like bankrupt, they're going to go out of business, then the FCC will permit a newspaper to purchase that station, or if a newspaper is about to go out of business, that the broadcaster can purchase the newspaper. An example of that was in New York City a couple decades ago. Rupert Murdoch owned the New York Post. He sold the New York Post after he got his local television station in New York. But the New York Post was in such a financial trouble, it was going to go out of business. And so the FCC permitted Murdoch to actually purchase back the New York Post. But throughout the history of waivers, the FCC, you know, since the newspaper television cross ownership ban went into effect in 1975. Since 1975, there's only been four instances where the FCC has given permanent waivers. So you have to meet a very, very high burden. What Kevin Martin is proposing is lowering the burden for a newspaper to be able to buy a television station. For instance, he's saying if you are committed to create a newscast, right, and producing more local news, if the station is in financial stress. But he doesn't define what financial stress is. There's no definition of like if you produce more local news. What does that mean? It's not defined. Do you produce 10 minutes more of local news, 20 minutes? So the criteria he uses lowers the standard for a newspaper to be able to buy a TV station. And so this is what we're saying is going to open the back door for newspapers to go before the FCC and say, hey, I want to buy the station. Yes, I'm going to increase local news. My newspaper is going to be independent editorially of the television station. The station is not making as much money as we like it to. It should make. It's in financial troubles. Remember now, Kevin Martin is saying newspapers are in financial troubles in those top 20 markets. That's why he wants to save them. And these newspapers are making 20% profit margin. So if he considers that that he needs to save newspapers because they're only making 20% profit margin. Imagine when these other newspapers go before the FCC and say, "Hey, we're not making as much money as we like. We're getting hammered by Wall Street. Let us buy this local TV station." The burden is lower. It's a less stricter standard that's going to be applied for waivers, and the FCC is going to grant these waivers, and citizen groups are going to have a hard time following a request for waivers and actually putting up the capital to actually challenge these waiver requests. So it really puts the burden back on the public to show why this is not in the public interest. And so that's why we think it opens the back door. I hope that made sense.
Yes, it does. I think what you're saying is that we're talking about even outside of the 20 largest the 20 largest markets where it would be permitted for a newspaper to purchase a television station as long as it wasn't one of the, quote, top four. we're talking about outside of that, you're saying that he wants to lower the standards by which the FCC uses to determine whether to issue a permanent waiver. So even newspapers outside of the 20 largest markets could apply to the FCC to purchase a television station, and the criteria the FCC would be using to decide that would be, you say, whether or not they'll increase local news if their financial condition is in distress, quote unquote. But these, you're saying, are very loose guidelines. And even if the newspaper says, yeah, we'll produce more local news, they don't even have to follow up on that. And by the time they've gotten a permanent waiver, well, it's too late.
How do you police increase police more local news? How do you police saying, yeah, our newspaper and the television station, we're going to have editorial independence of each other? I mean, how do you do that? So how do you, what's your definition of like a financial distress situation? How do you define that? And so there's a lack of clarity what the commissioner is proposing there. And the fact is that it's a much different standard of what's the current standard in receiving waivers. So we think that he, you know, obviously the chairman's very good politician, very smart, and this is the backdoor way to allow companies like Media General and others that have been really pressuring the FCC hard, the Newspaper Association of America, pressing hard to get rid of this rule altogether, newspaper cross-ownership, television cross-ownership ban. And this is the backdoor way he's trying to let it happen. So in the top markets, if a newspaper wants to buy a television station ranked outside the top four, it's presumed to be in the public interest. Outside of the top 20, it's presumed not to be in the public interest, but you can overcome that presumption by saying, hey, it's going to be in the public interest, here's how. I'm producing more local news. That our newspaper is going to be financially in trouble. We need help. Be editorial independent. So it's a much. It's reducing the criteria for actually getting a waiver.
So this is going to affect far across the country. It would Absolutely. Affect us across the country. It wouldn't simply be limited to the 20 largest markets.
Yeah, the Dean Singletons of the world, the Media News. Either you can expect them to all throughout the California area, throughout the Bay Area, and surround. You know, you could see him lining up to do this for sure.
Can you talk about the speculation that a particular company might be, I think the Tribune, is that right? That there might actually be some influence from them, and that's why Kevin Martin's trying to rush this through. Can you talk about the details on that?
Absolutely. So here is the Tribune. Tribune has an agreement to sell its company to Sam Zell, who's the billionaire from Chicago. Now, Tribune was in violation of the newspaper cross. Tribune bought these stations but received waivers. To not permanent waivers, temporary waivers, to be able to operate a newspaper and a television in the same market in five different markets, in Los Angeles, in Chicago, in Hartford, Connecticut, in New York City, in Fort Lauderdale. But these are temporary waivers. They were hoping that in the meantime, when they get these temporary waivers, they can actually get the law changed, get the FCC to actually relax, get rid of the rule, and that has not happened. And so the sale goes through. Here is Sam Zell. He buys this company, and he wants, of course, he wants it all. He wants to be able to keep the stations and the newspapers in the same market, but he has to get approval of those of that by the FCC. FCC has to approve that, and so the deal is has not gone through yet. It all is depending on whether the FCC supports. It allows the waivers, allows them to have permanent waivers or temporary waivers or whatever have you, to allow the deal to go through. And why do you have to get it done by the end of the year? There's a lot of tax implications, a little too complex for me to really speak about, but there's a whole bunch of tax implication that is pending on that the deal, but it all depends on whether the deal gets done by the end of the year.
It says in your report that Kevin Martin knows that if Tribune Company fails to secure cross-ownership waivers or a rule change by January 1st, 2008, the price to purchase the remaining stock would rise, endangering the deal. Why would Kevin Martin care about that? Why does he care about Tribune Company and their deal with real estate mogul Sam Zell? Why would he care?
You know, I got to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure why. He last year, he went before the Newspaper Association of America and he told them, help me. They represent the daily newspapers. Help me get rid of the newspaper cross-ownership ban. This has been his number one issue when it comes to broadcast regulation that he's been wanting to get rid of. He's been wanting to get rid of the newspaper cross-ownership ban for a long time now. And so this has been his main issue when it comes to the newspaper cross-ownership issue. So the newspaper, the broadcast regulation is his number one issue, getting rid of the newspaper cross-ownership. So I don't really know why he is so hell-bent on doing this, but it's been clear for a long time that this is his main priority.
Michael Copps and Jonathan Adelstein, who are two commissioners on the FCC who oppose this proposal, have also mentioned this, saying that he might be using the Tribune as a human shield in this situation. They're opposing it. Who else is opposing this? Are there congresspeople, senators? What do you think the general public's feeling on this issue is?
Well, to speak to the human shield, the quote from Copps and Adelstein, they were saying this because there's a lot of folks who are against consolidation, a lot of congressional leaders that are naturally against consolidation that will have a harder time voting against a newspaper cross-ownership ban if Tribune was a part of that. Because, so Kevin Martin, we all believe his game plan was to use the Tribune sale to force Democrats to support the newspaper cross-ownership ban. Because he's saying his proposal for the newspaper to lift the newspaper cross ownership ban, because he's saying that it forces Democrats Democrats like Senator Durbin and Schumer and who live in markets where the Tribune exists, and so they're under tremendous pressure from their own hometown newspapers to support them in their business desires to be able to own a newspaper and television station in the same market. And so Kevin Martin, politically, we believe, was calculating that if I can get the Senator Durbins and Schumers and of the world not to attack my newspaper television cross ownership proposal, because it would affect the Tribune deal, then I could muzzle, if lack of a better word, the Democrats on my proposal, and I have an easier time getting it through. So if that makes sense, so he was using, that's what he says, the human shield. He was trying to force the Democrats to support his newspaper cross-ownership ban by saying, if you don't, it's going to affect the Tribune sale.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Democrats in that live in those states, uh-huh, that, or cities that, Tribune is a very powerful force, political force.
What about the general public? How do you think most people feel on this issue? And if you could support your statements with how you arrived at that conclusion.
Being inside the Beltway here and just reading the press reports, my fear is that that the public is not going to get as upset by this, because it hasn't really been reported well, I think. Even though we've been trying hard at Free Press to get the word out that his proposal is not a modest proposal, it's a radical proposal to, you know, lift cross ownership in the smaller markets as well. The press really hasn't, I don't think, covered that too well. So the public, you know, they see the top 20 markets and it's a little too wonkish maybe. But mainly the reporters have not covered this. I think have not really picked up on how Commissioner Adelstein and Copps warning and ours and other groups saying this is a disguise for a much radical change in lifting the ban. I'm not sure they really covered that well. So I think the public is harder to get outraged, I think, when it's the top 20 markets. And I'm not sure how this is resonating with the public. I think once you explain it and they hear about it, I think they naturally become much more skeptical of what's being done. But I'm not sure how it's resonating out in the public, particularly those who really care about this issue and have been following these battles for years.
So what is the process by which all this is happening and by which a decision will be made? How transparent is that process, and what opportunity do people have to speak up if they are concerned about this?
The process, I mean, it all seems like Kevin Martin is trying to lift the goal to vote on this rule by December 18th. But he's receiving a lot of pressure from Congress. Congress is going to hold a couple of hearings in the next couple of weeks. December 5th, the House is going to hold a hearing. All five FCC commissioners are going to appear. The Senate is going to hold a hearing December 13th. But in the Senate, Senator Dorgan and Senator Lott actually introduced a bipartisan legislation that tries to slow the SEC down and say, hey, SEC, you have not taken into account several things. You have not taken account how your rule changes will affect localism, how it will affect minority ownership. You have not put your rules out for proposal to the public. If you do, you have to give the public 90 days to respond. You just cannot rush it through. So it has a lot of bipartisan support on it. It has, Senator Snow, this Senator Obama, Senator Clinton. So it's a bill that has a very lot of powerful people on it. And so, Congressman Dingell, who's a very powerful chairman of the Commerce Committee, which oversees telecom and broadcast policy, has warned the FCC to slow it down. So has Markey, Congressman Markey, who is also a very powerful member of Congress. So there's a growing pressure on the FCC to not go forth with a rule on December 18th. So we'll see. We'll see. This is going to be a critical month. Folks need to weigh in. I suggest you go to our website, stopbigmedia.com or freepress.net. Stopbigmedia.com, there's a whole bunch of web tools there in which they can submit letters to the members of Congress or to the FCC, making their voices heard. Definitely call your congresswoman or congressperson to voice your opposition to this, because we need members of Congress speaking out against this.
The Bipartisan Media Ownership Act of 2007 that's now pending in the Senate, right?
Yep. It's basically calling for a few things. It's calling for the SEC, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, to if it comes out with a rule on newspaper cross ownership, it has to allow the public 90 days to be able to comment on it. Because what the chairman has been doing, the chairman issued a press release basically saying what his intent was on what he was intending to do with the newspaper cross-ownership, but he really didn't lay out all the different legal questions of how it would work. So if he's going to do that, this bill will say you have to do that first. You have to spell out in detail your proposal, but you have to give the public 90 days to respond to your proposal. But before you even do that, before you even put out your notice, your potential new rule, you first have to deal with the issue of localism. You have failed to do that. You have to address the issue of localism first, and then also you have to address the issue of minority ownership as well. So that's what the bill is basically calling the FCC to do, is to deal with all these different process issues that the commission has failed to do.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, Joe Torres, again, Governmental Relations Manager of Free Press, to talk about Kevin Martin, the chair of the FCC's efforts to further consolidate the media by lifting the ban on cross-ownership of newspapers and TV stations. Thank you.
Thank you, and definitely more information on everything that's going down. And currently, I recommend to go Stop Big Media to read the latest.
StopBigMedia.com?
Exactly, StopBigMedia.com.
And FreePress.net.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a good night.
Again, Joe Torres of Free Press, and check out their website at FreePress.net or StopBigMedia.com. One thing we were discussing was the report, Devil in the Details, 10 Facts Kevin Martin Doesn't Want You to Know About His New Media Ownership Rules, partly authored by Joseph Torres, our guest on the phone, as well as Craig Aaron, Marvin Amory, and Derek Turner. You can read that at freepress.net. As well, you can also read in a report called Out of the Picture 2007. It's an update on the landmark study on minority media ownership, which shows a bad situation getting even worse. They have a full report there. You can also read the press release about it. And you can also read about how Comcast has violated net neutrality and their calls for the FCC to act on that and how you can add your voice. There's all kinds of different ways to get involved. There's an upcoming National Conference for Media Reform in 2008 from June 6th through the 8th in Minneapolis. You can read about that at freepress.net. And again, also check out stopbigmedia.com.